Why, hello there, everyone, and you are listening to
Nerd Alert! Girls.
Chicas. Yes, hi, everybody. Now, before we get started, I want to take a moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gabrielino, Tongue of People, and Quiche Nation. How's it going, everyone? I'm your host, Jen with a G, as in, how's it going, everybody?
Hi, I'm your other host, Bridget, pronoun she, hers, and, what just happened?
What just happened?
Dude! What just happened? Okay, alright, so this episode is called The Tomb, and...
Rightly so.
Yeah.
A lot of tombs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So... It's aptly named, so, compared to last week where I was the friendly type and you're like, what does that mean? I still don't know what that means and I've had a week to think about it.
Nope.
Anyway, so this was directed by Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson again, and no surprise there. I really felt the horror film vibes, and you were talking about the camera angles.
Seriously, like the camera angle gave it away for me, especially during certain scenes. Should we go through this like chronologically here, or am I going to bounce around? Because I feel like I have so many thoughts on so many different things.
I mean, we can try to go chronologically, but this whole series is not really apt to going that route. But anyway, so it's directed by Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson, and then written by Alex Minihan and Peter Cameron and Sabir Pirzada. So those are the creative folks behind this episode. And, so it just picks up pretty much where we left off, you know?
Yeah. Poor Mark Steven is still unconscious. And then meanwhile, Khonshu has been put into a statue. Let's see.
It opens with, like, the upside down. Or no, it doesn't open with that, but, like, it cuts to that, right?
Yeah.
We just watched this episode, and I'm, like, already forgetting what order everything comes in. But that
literally
was a great angle
it.
Where it was, like, upside down. The guy's walking towards you. It was a subtle detail that, like, hints at, like, how upside down things are going to become, you know? So, like, I thought that was a really great move. Like, great piece of direction. But anyway, yeah, so... Yeah, it's like Steve and Mark wake up, and then you have like the gunners coming by trying to kill them. I mean, Layla is like so quick to think on her feet. And
she's so resourceful. She's like, okay, even though I want to get Mark and Steve into safety, they are dead weight. I got to move on and hope that they don't shoot his unconscious body here. Okay, I gotta move.
I was so worried that Steven would be kidnapped. Not Mark. Mark would get out of it. I was so afraid of Steven getting kidnapped.
Honest to God, especially since he was the one who had the body last, so it makes sense that he would be the one to wake up.
Yeah.
And that they would drag him away, and I'm like, don't you touch him. No.
Yeah.
But Layla, thinking on her feet, literally had no weapon other than flares.
Yeah, and that was very Jurassic Park-esque. Come on, right? It's, like, really dark, and, like, she lights it on fire, and she throws it at the car. It's very Jurassic Park.
It blew up, folks. It was fantastic. Like, literally, they're shooting at her, and they're like, okay, where is she? I saw someone running. Is this guy dead? I can't tell. And then, flare! Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo! And then she just throws it. Boom! There goes the car. And then Steven just happened to wake up, and he's just looking at her like,
I know! Wow. It cuts to, like, she's standing there, everything in flame. You see a flame being reflected on her face, and then Steven's right there going, what just happened?
Our boy just woke up. He has no idea what just happened, but he just sees Layla standing by all this fire, and I'm thinking, like, he's so much in love with her already that it just... He must be thinking, like, she's walking in slow motion with fire going on in the background. Like, think, like, the first How to Train Your Dragon when Hiccup's describing Astrid.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally my first thought. I'm like, all that love.
Astrid.
Like, he's, like, stunned, confused, but at the same time, like, wow.
So turned on right now.
So turned on.
I was gonna actually make a comparison though to the meme of the dog bringing in the pizza and then everything's on fire.
Totally different things going, but the effect is still the same.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that happens. Khonshu's statue is kind of put on display with other statues.
Like a lot. Like a dozen.
Like so many. And what was it that you said? Like, wait, why is Amit's statue thing not here? And I'm like, yeah.
I mean, well, okay. Now watching the whole thing, though, it makes sense. They, like, hid her away so no one would, like, be tempted, I guess, to bring her back to life. Like, they put her in a... They put her in the timeout box, basically, I guess.
So what would you call that wall of statues, then?
Well, I mean, yeah, why... I mean, there's, like, why... Yeah, that's true. Like, why is she treated differently?
So differently, yeah. What do they call this? Ushabti? And I... Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry for possibly butchering that, but... Either way, hers is not there. Khonshu's and a couple of dozen other Egyptian gods are there. Okay. All right. I don't know how Mark is going to free Khonshu, if he'll even want to at the end of this.
Because I know.
I'd be like, no, you stay there.
Yeah, I know. You're like, I'm like, Khonshu kind of sucks. Like,
you've done nothing but, like, condescend me and threaten my wife by saying I'm going to take her as my avatar next. And he's such a pill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Keep him there. He's earned a timeout. But, yeah, so... They're Layla and Steven, they're driving away, you know, escaping with their lives, and Mark's like, give me the body. And Steven's like, no, we made a deal.
Which I'm like, do you remember the deal?
I don't recall. Maybe it was like one of those heat of the moment things where it's like, look, you let me do this, you can have the body, I'll go away. Like, I genuinely cannot remember.
I just did not remember that. And I was like, was that something that happened off screen? Because it felt like news to me, and like, it's interesting that it was to you, too. So I'm like, huh. We both could have just maybe not been paying attention enough. I don't know. But, yeah. So that was, like, surprising to me. And it was like...
Yeah. Layla wasn't too happy about that. She's just like, excuse you?
You can't make that decision without me. And it's like, that's so fair.
Hello. Partnership. Marriage. I even had to ask you, like, wait, was their divorce final? Or were they going through the divorce?
No. He sent the paper. You know, now that I'm like... I don't know.
I'm rethinking it
because, like, I know she brought the papers.
Yeah.
But, like, Steven didn't sign it. But, like, had Mark already signed that?
Because you both got to sign it. Or I don't know how it works.
No, you do. You know? You both have to sign it in order for it to be finalized. But I just don't remember.
Like, I can't remember if she's like, I'm not going to sign these. Or if she's just like, I need an explanation before you make me sign these. I don't remember.
Oh, gosh.
But as far as I'm aware, they're still together.
Like, legally married, I think, is more accurate, honestly, to say right now.
Fair enough. Yeah, because even though Mark still very much cares for her, she's already got a small thing for Steven going there.
Small thing? Huge! Like,
seriously, like, they're getting, like, they find, like, the site where Harrow and his men have been digging looking for Ahmet, and they're like, okay, let's go through the supply, see what we can find before we make our way down there. They grab flashlights, they grab everything you need, and meanwhile, Mark and Steven are still kind of bickering in the mirror there. Mm-hmm. And then boom, everyone's all pressed up close against each other. And
I know. Yeah. Like, cause what he, like, she's like strapping him up and like, he's like, I'm just so excited for this. The adventure.
Sweet baby child.
And like, but like Mark was already like, if you touch her, I will kill you.
Like, I will kill you. I will literally fling our body off a cliff.
That's what he said. That's right.
And I'm like, oh, sweetie, you're jealous of yourself. Well, technically, you know.
This is the part where it's like, oh gosh, I don't know what. Because like, we were talking about, it's cheating. Is it cheating? It's cheating.
Like, I will stand by that, even if it is the same body, you know, but... Like, she went for it first. I want to point that out.
Yeah, that's the part that I, like, that really tears me up. Because I was joking last episode when I was like, listen, you get a fresh start with Steven, Layla. Why don't just go for it? And then she went for it. I'm like, oh
manifest. Manifest.
Like, manifestation power is becoming too powerful.
But then Steven's like, whoa.
Yeah,
hold up.
I know, and he stops and he does the right thing, and he's like, the reason that Mark has been stepping back is because he's afraid that Khonshu's going to choose you as his next avatar.
And she's like, what? You know?
Which... But she's still upset because it's like, well, that was his choice to not tell me, you know, and I don't need to be protected and all that stuff, and just...
Yes.
Yeah, the indignant.
The indignant attitude.
Yeah, you know, which I'm like, yeah. Fair, you
fair,
know?
Fair, yeah. And no, I should know these things, you know?
You could be honest, or in that, So that's what that dialogue, he was like, being honesty. being honesty, Steven.
Honesty. She's so fond of him.
So fond.
Like, seriously, the soft looks that she gets. Like, once that initial confusion was gone, she saw them as like, okay, so we got Mark, who's I'm still very much ticked off at. And then we got Steven, who's a total sweetheart and fumbles over his words and just wants to do, like, I just see that fondness, like, huh, you know? And then this time, he goes for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
and wow. They both get into it. They do. Like, she hasn't changed her mind, she was still into it. And it's just like, I know they're different in personality, but wow, does she have a type, like a physical type?
She totally has a physical type. Because I'm thinking, no, it's cheating. It's two different people, even if they are sharing one body, one face, you know, because like, I'm thinking Mark's like this confident mercenary type. Steven's like a shy, awkward little cinnamon roll here. You know, that is two different men alone. Mark obviously wasn't happy about that later, but just, I'm like, they went for it. It happened. It's cheating, but Steven deserves a little bit.
Damn, it a little bit.
Damn. Just a little. Then, of course, you know, Mark gains control long enough to punch himself in the face.
Yes! So funny. And that's when he collapses right at the bottom of the tunnel thing.
And oh my god, what did he say? He was like, oh, look at you, or whatever.
When he's looking at the statue and she's like, oh.
She's thinking like, oh, he's talking about me, yeah. And she's like, oh. Like, I swear, she liked for a moment that Steven thought was like giving her a genuine compliment. She's like, yeah, oh.
I mean, he would.
It just he totally
wasn't
would.
Wasn't what he was thinking about in that particular moment, but yeah.
Seriously, he has all the confidence in the world when it comes to his nerdiness over Egyptian lore and artifacts and such. When it comes to human interaction.
But, I mean, he kissed her. He did go for
that
it.
That was
that's
his
boldness.
Bold,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's in there.
It's definitely in there.
Oh, sweet bean. But yeah, folks, this next part grossed us both out. Because, like, y'all know me a little bit from, like, what we've talked about. I'm all for horror stuff. I'm all for head decapitation and body gore. I am for it. I'm here for it. Bridget, not so much. It's fine. We get through it. And then, of course, there's blood and body parts.
I know. Steven's like, that fresh blood. And
as it turns out, like, Layla notices a bunch of, like, gunshot shells whatever, and they're like, wait a minute, they're shooting at something. Something is down here.
Okay, it's clicking in my head now, because I'm like, why, like, because something that had been hanging over me that I just didn't understand was, like, why aren't Harrow's men, like, stopping them? But I understand, the priests were getting in the way.
Yeah, and... Okay. Steven himself, like, he realized that the whole tomb was, what was it?
In the maze, in the shape of the Eye of Horus, yeah.
You know, so the maze was
which
this
they
eye.
Didn't know. Harrow and his men
didn't
know.
Didn't know that. They had the compass, which I'm guessing can only take him so far through all
right,
these
right, when
dangers.
You're in a maze and there's a bunch of walls in your way, yeah. It's not going to be that helpful.
But they determined, like, okay, Ahmet's all about justice, so I'm thinking the tomb's going to be at the tongue. For the Eye of Horus, you know, to speak her truth or whatever. So they figure, okay, we'll go that way, only to stumble upon these undead priests that take any bodies that they can and mummify it, basically.
Yeah, right. So we saw the tools and the jars, and just so for, like, a little bit of context, that is part of, like, the mummification process that the Egyptians do, like, so special priests worked as embalmers. I'm reading this from, you know, looking this up. Beyond knowing the correct rituals and prayers, the priests also need a detailed knowledge of human anatomy, of course.
Of course.
So removing all of the organs except for the heart, which they believe to be the center of a person's being and intelligence, but the other organs were preserved separately, with the stomach, liver, lungs, and such placed in boxes or jars today called canopic jars. In later mummies, the organs were treated, wrapped, and replaced within the body, but... In earlier ones, they had to put them in the jars. So,
yeah.
That's essentially what that priest was doing, I guess. But it felt like, it sounded like like it was eating the organs, though.
I kind of wondered about that, honestly, because it looked like it was kind of getting into it within all its butchering. And I'm like, the clicking noise. I know that's how it's communicating, but at the same time, there's just something squelchy about the way it was doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, they did not do this in Brendan Fraser's version of The Mummy. There were the jars, but it was to give back the organs to the undead mummy that was stalking our heroes, you know? But seeing it the reverse side, I was just like, oh, ew. You know?
Yeah, I decided not to read in detail the like specifics of how they took the organs out. Because, this episode was gross enough. I shouldn't be disrespectful of, I'm not disrespecting the mummification process. It is very sacred tradition. But just, you know, as someone who would never become a doctor and, like, would never want to see organs, it is unsettling for me just to imagine. I'll do respect for the ritual. But for this scene, though, it is, like, presented in a more grotesque way because it's, like, this undead zombie mummy
was kind of eating him. And the thing is, I kind of felt bad for the bad guy. I'm like,
that's a horrible, horrible way to die.
Especially since I kind of suspect that whichever of Harrow's men that thing had dragged in, I think he might have still possibly have been alive. At least a little bit.
He looked alive.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. I'm like, I think he's grunting a little.
Yeah, no, he was alive, Jen. He was alive.
And meanwhile, the scene is so pumped up because Steven's, like, checking out something, like, another way out and such. And Layla's, like, on the floor below him, literally right near the table where this dude is getting butchered. And she's trying to move out of the way because she's disgusted. And that thing, like, kind of sort of hears her. You know, so that scene was intense.
It was so, like, you had to hand me a pillow while we were watching it, because I just could not handle it.
I was just like, here, hold something, not me, I'll shove you off. But yeah, it was intense. And of course, the thing finds them, of course, you know, because...
It jumps up. Yeah.
You know, and, like, Steven's like, run, I'll find you later, you know, and of course it somehow follows Layla to this... pit of doom here where she's got to sidle against the wall.
I thought Steven made that thing crash on.
He squashed it. He threw something on.
So then another.
It must have been another one.
Steven did take care of that one. We got to give credit where credit is due.
It was so cute. He's like, I squashed it. He seemed kind of surprised but kind of proud of himself.
Yeah.
I took care of it. Yeah. Because
I like, yeah, it's like Steven is so clearly so very brave. You know, like, we talked about this before, but like him being a little bit awkward does not mean that he's not brave or confident.
No, he is, you're right, credit where credit is due. And it's so nice to see that he's doing things on his own because Mark was like, no, give me the body. You're going to get killed. We have no powers. We have no healing. I at least know how to fight my way out of a situation, you know? And Steven's just like, nope, I got this, you know? And he does got this. He does. He squashed one of the priests, like literally just shoves a shelf thing on him. He's just like, oh, I squashed it. So yeah, another one, of course, is lurking, clicking.
Oh, when she's clicking. Climbing the ledge and it like crumbles behind her, but then the hand reaches out. It's so, and then, okay, and like she gets pulled in and then pulled back out. I thought like, is this it? Is this like the way she's going to go? Because, I really was afraid for a second. Like that was like her death we were watching.
That was insane. Like, yeah. I saw that coming, that thing bursting through the wall, because it's like every horror movie scenario where they burst through the wall.
I was waiting for the jump scare. You heard me being like, when's the jump scare going to come? When's it going to come?
But seeing her get pulled back twice.
Oh.
And she manages to fight that thing off.
Gets another flare. A flare saves the day again.
Stabs it through its socket or whatever.
Oh, and you think that they both go over the ledge, and then she climbs up, and then she lies there, and she screams, and I'm like, you know, they really sat with that, her reaction, which I really appreciate. It felt so realistic, because, like, she is a badass. She's very brave.
Oh, yeah.
But that was horrific.
That was terrifying. Like, she literally had that thing grabbing her, dragging her. Who knows what it was going to do to her? She knew exactly what it was going to do to her after seeing what happened to Harrow's man.
Yeah.
And yet there it is, like, chomping at her face.
Yeah.
Only for her to almost fall to her death. And if it was, it was her own instincts that saved her from grabbing on at the last possible moment.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I like that they really just sat with that that really raw emotion and fear that she had. Because, like, we all felt it.
Oh yeah. My gosh. And then who's watching, of course, the whole time? But Harrow. Just, yeah, not even going to offer your assistance. You couldn't have thrown your glass-filled shoe at that thing to distract it or something. No, he's just like, you handled that very well. And I'm like...
And she's so right. Like, why do men like you always have to be so condescending? What is that with men? Anyway.
Anyways. Cuts to Steven. He finds the tomb and he's just impressed, like, wow.
Geeking out again. And that's when Mark is like, so you kissed her. Oh, you're going to drown us. Oh, I should. Except you told her the truth. I didn't expect that. And in my head, I'm like, I didn't expect that either.
I did not expect that either. I didn't expect Layla to make the first move.
I didn't expect Layla to make the first move. I didn't expect...
Steven to tell her the truth, but then finish what they started.
Yeah, he's like, I'm still going for it. You're still beautiful and amazing.
Like, he fell in love with her the moment she stepped into his life.
No, seriously. Like, I've never seen...
anyone more smitten. That is love at first sight for him. He's just like, yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. They find out that the tomb itself belonged to Alexander the Great, of all people, which, full disclosure, I know nothing about this guy. I know he exists.
So I looked him up on Wikipedia. So, you know, grain of salt, I guess, but like really famous emperor, military conqueror, known as having one of the largest empires in the world, if not the largest, conducted military campaigns throughout Western Asia and Northeastern Africa.
Wow.
So... King, known as King of Macedonia, Lord of Asia, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like his story in a nutshell. I'm not really sure what his history is with, like, Egypt specifically and, you know, why he would have... Or, I mean, I guess it could be just fake history with Egypt, you know, and that they're having him be...
Makes sense, I guess. But either way, he was Ahmed's last avatar.
Which is so interesting, right? Because he's like... He dominated the whole world and brought everything under, I mean, not everything, and not the whole world, actually, but, like, you know.
A really good
portion of it. Yeah. And so, like, that was Ahmet's, and like, I guess that brings the question of, like, something about his military campaigns that was, like, the final straw for the Egyptian gods.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe they figured, okay, you're giving this human way too much power.
Yeah.
That's my only guess, you know? But either way, whatever it was she did as his avatar was the nail in the coffin to her fate as turning into a statue and such.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, where is her statue located? But
in his throat. And, like, I mean, props to Steven for figuring out what it is. Like, again, going with the whole of the voice, I mean, if they wanted to be more metaphorical, they could have gone with, like, The Voice as the title for this episode. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment that made me crack up as he's, like, reaching into the throat and...
He's, like, apologizing, like, I'm sorry, I gotta...
I'm so sorry, Mr. Great. Like,
I'm sorry. You know, unwrapping the mummy, we see a skeleton, and he has to yank and break open the jaw to reach his hand in there. And of course, like, he can't get it right away. Of course, it's not just going to be, like, right behind the teeth or anything. Nope. No, it's in there.
It's in the throat, and...
Mark. Still salty over everything, Mark.
Yeah, get in there. Get in deep. Get in deep.
Get in deep, buddy. Like, even though he said it so sardonically, you can tell he's enjoying himself.
So dry, and as you hear the squelching kind of sound.
It was kind of squelchy.
And, like, he was just like, yeah, get in there.
Like, seriously, now that dead bad, it reminded me of this scene in Victorious. I'm not sure if anyone's ever watched that Nickelodeon show, but there's this point where the main character, she's mad at her sister, And as a prank, a friend of her had given her a coffee she had gotten from the garbage. So she gives it to her sister. And then later she's like looking at her sister drinking the coffee. And she's just like, that's right. Drink the garbage coffee. Seriously, that just, there's satisfaction that suffer. That was literally my thought. But yeah,
oh, no.
Mark enjoying himself a little too much, even if he's not showing it in his face, like just the comments said it all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, reach in there a little deeper, buddy.
Gosh. It just
And he did reach deep in there too. They did not make it easy.
Nope. And props to him for not throwing up.
What was it that you said? Like that he should have switched bodies for that.
Just for that part. Yeah. If it was me, I'd be like, "All right, Mark, take over. This is all you. You get in there."
Like I get the girl, you get the body. Yeah. And speaking of the girl, there's an interesting conversation with Harrow
and Layla.
And at first, she's so ready to dismiss him, like, mm-hmm. just whatever, I'm moving on.
And, you know, it's so funny because she turns the corner, right, and Harrow's talking, and I was like, you know, she could have just, like, kept going, and he would have just been talking to air. It would have been so sweet.
But it's so good. I mean, this dude is, like, so used to being listened to that you just want someone to punch him in the throat or just not listen.
No, even better, just not even give him the time of day. He's just monologuing the whole time, and she's, like, gone.
I'm out.
Or she taps him behind the shoulder, and he's just like, what? Yeah, anyway, missed opportunity for comedy. I'm not saying they should have done that, but, like, part of me was, like,
like, yeah. Plot-wise, it progressed things forward because, yeah. of course, he, like, calls her, little scarab that her father used, which is something her father used
which
to call
he had
her.
Called her before, and I didn't quite catch that, but hearing it this time, it really hit home for me.
I know, and I'm just like, oh, no.
And it's funny because she's just like, you know what, just tell me. And you can tell that she already knows the truth.
Yeah, really. But gotta hear from this guy, and of course, he's like, yeah... Your husband didn't tell you everything. He totally killed your dad. And I'm just like, how do you know this?
And of course he doesn't give, like, the full context, though.
Of course he doesn't. Because honestly, like, to someone who gets the full story, which Mark does tell Layla that it was his partner, his mercenary partner, who actually killed Layla's dad and anyone else, their execution military style.
Mm-hmm.
But... anyone could be like, you're kind of an accessory to murder by not stopping him, you know?
Right, but he did try to stop him, and that's why he died.
That's why he got shot and almost died, and that's why Conchu's like, hey, you're dying, you want to make a deal? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and so cut to, they're having this conversation, Layla and Mark, and he's very insistent like that he didn't actually kill her dad, I thought he totally did. I've talked about this last time, but I thought, like, he killed her... or her dad, and then, like, that was before they met and everything. So I was right about that.
Yeah, but, like, the fact that he tried to tell her so many times, but it ends up falling in love with her, I'm just like, ew, that is kind of squeaky, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and it, not in terms of the romance, but it did remind me of Bucky in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, right.
Right, when he, you know, tries to tell the father about his son and instead becomes friends with him for a while and then just can't bring himself to tell him. And it's just like really terrible to watch, you know?
So bad. Oh my God.
And it's like, and this is like even worse, you mm-hmm. know, because they straight up got married and like.
They got married. They consummated that marriage. They went out like that. Oh, that's a whole different level than friendship. But, yeah, that's, wow.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was bad, you know, and I'm just thinking, Mark, dude, why weren't you open about it from the start? I was there, your father's last words were this, you know, he would have been so proud of you, you know. Like, Steven himself told Layla, like, oh, your dad would have been proud of you. And Harrow, of course, twists that against her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he would have been so proud by what you've accomplished. I'm like, shut your face. Just a heartbreaking scene. And then, of course, Harrow comes to ruin things, as always. Mark tells Layla to run, and he's like, he tries to fight off Harrow's men, only to get shot twice.
Right, and by Harrow. Like, I just want to say that was Mark. Like,
that was Mark.
They died when Mark was in charge. I just wanted to say that for the record, because he kept insisting, give me the body.
You'll get us killed. No, if you come out, you'll get us killed.
Like, if I were Steven, I would hold that over Mark's head forever.
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 Like, oh my
gosh. I'm sorry, who got us killed? Twice?
Wait a minute.
It was you.
You.
I mean, you know, did the right thing. Mm. Like, the practical thing would have been just to let Harrow take it, because there was nothing he could have done.
Literally nothing. They were outgunned, outmanned.
Yeah, there was, like, no he wouldn't have made a difference. But he still went down fighting, because that's just who he is.
Yeah, and Harrow, he knew that Khonshu wasn't there anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. He saw the statue for himself, and he's like, it's quiet, isn't it? It's freeing, you know? And I'm like, that's your thing, isn't it? You're always talking. You're always trying to get people to see your side. And I'm pretty sure if Mark would have given in, I suspect Harrow would have said, okay, join me. Let's do this. We could use someone of your skills, you know?
Yeah, no, he totally would have.
Ugh. But no, shoots him twice.
And Layla's reaction just shows how much she still loves him.
Yeah, despite everything, she's still like, no! Like, that devastated look, that pure shock, and that camera angle where Mark is falling, that was gorgeous. When he falls into the water and sort of like you can't tell if he's going up or down, mm-hmm. you know, that was gorgeous. And that's what made me like, okay, this is definitely our guys from last time. That camera angle, okay, all right.
And I want to say what I had thought would happen was because he still has Amit's statue, mm-hmm. that he would become her avatar. Like, when they came in contact with the water, something would activate or something.
Because
I'm like, there's no way he's dead. So I'm like, does he become Amit's avatar now? But like, because I was just trying to figure out a way like for him to like,
but no.
Not die, but no. But nope, the transition was to something else.
It was so much worse, folks. The thing I've been dreading since I read some of the comics. Mark is in a psychiatric ward, and you see like a Steven Grant character in a VHS tape, like this Tomb Raider type. Mm-hmm. And all these people from Steven's place, you know, his former co-workers and former boss are there as patients. You see Layla as a patient, and there he is trying to talk to himself in a mirror, like, come on, Steven, talk to me, you know, and he's strapped to his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. It was, all the subtle details that, like, you recognize from everything up to this point that makes you think, oh, shoot, was this all in his head?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They had a comic where they did that to him, where an enemy of Khonshu, like, captured him and tried to force him to believe that there was never such a thing as Moon Knight, that it's just something that happened to Mark in a psychotic break, you know? Mm. And honestly, even though I knew, like, no, they're trying to trick him. They did it so well that even for a moment as I'm reading the comic, I'm like, is it just a dream? No, like, I doubted for, like, a second there. So I'm thinking, oh, no, don't trick him, you know, and of course, who's the lead doctor psychologist but Harrow?
Harrow.
Of course.
And like, okay, this was interesting, though, that his vision was blurry of Harrow specifically for
a bit,
minute, yeah. Everything else was, like, you could still, you could see, like, clearly.
Like, oh, that's a painting. Oh, that's a door or whatever.
Yeah, but Harrow was out of focus.
Yeah, even though we as the audience knew it was him just by voice alone,
right.
It was still, like, interesting that we're seeing from Mark's perspective. He's all drugged out because they had to sedate him for like falling out of his wheelchair or whatever, but like that was a good detail. I hadn't even thought about it, you know, that just it's like it's blurry, then it's focused, and you see him kind of looking at Harrow like, wait a minute.
And it's when he says, I can't save you if you can't if you don't want to save yourself,
the same thing he said when
as he was killing him.
Yeah, because of course, all villains like to take back their own lines or throw the hero's lines against them. That's what they do.
Right.
You know, and Mark, he's looking at all the details. He sees, like, Harrow's cane. Mm-hmm. He sees his shoes, which I would not have been surprised if glass sounded if the dude would have stood up, you know?
Yeah.
And all the jars. of the organs. Well, they're not full of organs, but like as decoration around that office or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Mark, he's just like, wait a minute. No. You know, Harrow's just trying to convince him, like, yeah, we gotta talk. Let's make a dialogue. I'm here to help you. I've been through these things before. I can help you. And I'm like, don't listen to him.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Mark, of course, gets wise and is just like, no, don't touch me. I'm out of here. And even though, like, he's still lacking Khonshu's powers, he can still hold his own pretty well, you know? Even drugged out of his mind, he managed to escape two of the ward dudes who were trying to drag him out and sedate him again.
I know, bit one of them.
Like, just twisted the arm of one of them. Just, oh my gosh.
And then, yeah, and then goes into the door, watches them run past. Yeah. And then he comes across the sarcophagus with Steven.
That was just insane. Because in that same comic I mentioned, Mark's personalities were in different realms in their own sort of trapped version of it. While Mark is in like a psychiatric hospital, you've got Steven Grant, the actor, who's filming a Moon Knight kind of movie thing going on. Then you've got Mark Spector in like a Buzz Lightyear space thing kind of thing going, and then you got Jake Lockley, who's like being a cab driver thing, you know. It's pretty cool, you know, how the people against Khonshu just split up his personalities. Like, no, you each have your own lives, you're fine, everything's fine, we're fine, you know. So the fact that whatever is happening here manages to split apart Steven and Mark, pretty insane. And they put the poor guy in a sarcophagus. He's like, let me out of here. And what I thought was so sweet when Mark got him out, and they're both just like, what? Steven? Mark? Oh my gosh! And then they hug. You know, despite their differences, despite the Steven is totally stealing Layla away, they were happy to see each other. Like, just sheer relief. Like, oh my gosh, wait, how is this possible? Oh my gosh! Okay, yeah. We gotta get out of here. Completely bypasses another sarcophagus.
And they're like, nope, don't even like make a second glance. They just keep running.
And you said that was like a spoiler on that you saw on Twitter.
Oh well, okay. So I was on Twitter today for work, and I saw like on, you know, the side how they list like the trending hashtags, and I saw Jake Lockley. I was like, damn it, they spoiled it that Jake Lockley's in it, but. It really wasn't a spoiler because he wasn't actually in it. It was just people being like, oh, it's going to be Jake Lockley. That's not really. We all know that. Like, we all already know that. That's not a real big deal, so.
But still, the fact that they just ignored the sarcophagus. Like, dude. Hello?
They both, like, they ignored it before when it's like, I didn't do this. I didn't kill these people. And then now that they see a whole other sarcophagus and they're like, nope, keep going.
Nope, I'm going to keep moving. And they end with this hippo-esque creature thing.
Was that Hathor? That was my first thought.
Who?
The, you know, Yatsil.
Maybe. The voice definitely sounded familiar, you know, because, you know, we're thinking like, okay, we definitely see like some signs of like the Egyptian culture, like with the jars and the decorations and such, you know, but nothing really until that nurse with the hippo head comes out, and you're thinking she's going to be like, intruders, or they've escaped, you know, that was my thinking, like, oh, she's going to sound the alarm here. Only for her to be like, hi. Yeah,
that's why I thought it was Hathor, just because she was on their side, you know? But I don't actually know enough about the goddess to know for sure. There's an article about it, I'm sure, that confirms one way or the other. But just going off of, like,
her friendliness and the fact that she was on their side.
Yeah.
Hi, you know?
And then the screaming.
The screaming. Oh, Oscar Isaac.
How does he do that?
Like, he does, like, this manly, terrified scream for Mark and this high-pitched shriek for Steven.
It was so literally good.
Two different screams.
So good.
So good. Movie magic boggles me because I know that they can make one actor into two or whatever. I mean, they have Lindsay Lohan to do it in The Parent Trap, and that was like, what? Way back when.
Right.
So the technology's there, but it still boggles me. And I mean, like, I'm thinking, is the actor technically talking to themselves, or are they talking to, like a stuntman or whatever, and then they add the face? I don't know. But just the screams.
The screams! Wow, I love Oscar Isaac so much. Anyway.
I respect him so much. I'm like, Poe, oh my god!
And, like, we saw another, like, mid-transition where it goes from Steven to Mark, too.
Yes!
That was great.
Yeah, seriously, when Layla was confronting, can he hear me? Steven, I don't think Alexander the Great can hear you. No, Steven. Mark, is it true? You know, and then Mark, like, I don't know if Steven's like, okay, I better let them two talk, or if Mark, like, took control, like, no, we gotta talk about this now. Well, not really talk about these, like, no, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Then we can hash it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that subtle shift, even though the camera angle kind of, like, helped us as an audience, like, get the full effect of, no, he's changing, the look on Oscar Isaac's face from, like, confused and baffled to in charge and such, that subtle shift was, oh.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. That was so good.
So good.
Anyway, so good.
Any other thoughts on this episode?
I'm trying to think. The music, of course, was pretty good. The intensity of the scene, that was a lot even for me, and I can't tell if it's because it was dark.
I'm so glad we ended up watching it together in person this time instead of individually, because, whoo, that was rough.
Yeah, like, I'm used to this stuff, and I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, like, no, have I lost my touch with horror movies or something? Like, what is going on here? Oh.
How I jumped, like, seriously.
Oh, my neighbors are probably like, why are they screaming now? Because I'm pretty sure they're used to hearing all kinds of crazy screams from, like, me alone for whatever it is I'm watching, but they're like, oh my god, they need to stop. But it's fine. We made it through. It's fine. Don't have nightmares tonight.
Oh, gosh.
No, just think of Layla and Steven, you know, just, wow, what a beauty or whatever. She's like, yeah. Or was it, look at you or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. And she's just like, yeah. Oh. Like, focus on that. Like, even though I'm thinking like, oh my god, yeah, Steven is definitely a better match for Layla. It's still cheating. It just can't unsee it. And then I wonder when they're going to bring Jake in and if he's going to be looking at Layla like, wow, yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I'm kind of a sucker for, like, the split personality, still loves the same love interest trope. You know, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's so funny where someone, they get hit on the head and they get a complete personality change, or they get hypnotized to be evil, but they still find their love interest to be like, wow, she's cute, you know? It's funny. So I'm thinking Jake will at least be like, hey, you got a good girl. Yeah. And Mark's just like, not you too.
I have to compete against another altar now.
I'm here for it, folks. Just let him out of the sarcophagus, please.
I don't know if we want that, though. It's clear he's very bloodthirsty. I mean, he does have to be dealt with. Don't get me wrong. He does have to be
dealt with.
Dude. I love how Steven and Mark are both just like, nope, we're not going to open that one. Like, nope, we're going to suppress. We're going to keep going.
We're going to figure out what's going on. We're going to get out of here. Oh, okay, Hippo Lady. Oh, my gosh. That was a great way to end that episode.
Yeah.
The terror and anxiety and tension we were feeling to that. Thank you. I needed that.
Ooh.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. It was so very white, also, that whole last arc. Everything.
The thing is, it's like, it was so dark and gritty.
Yeah.
Like, for...
The transition was just very startling.
Blinding.
Yeah.
It was so blinding. Yeah, so please get them out of there. That arc was difficult for me to read. And I'm like, oh no, it's happening again. I should have known because that's what they do.
I would bet that most of next episode is going to be like them trying to get out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they let Jake out is a whole other thing. And
I mean, Jake's got to come out one way or the other. Like, that's been teased for too long for that not to happen. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to happen in season two. What?
just like Mobius doesn't get his, his boat.
He doesn't get his jet ski.
Jet ski until season two, probably, hopefully. I'm still angry.
Still angry, folks. But, okay. They got to get out of that hospital. They can deal with everything else. And I'm wondering, the people in the hospital with them, you know, like Layla and Donna and such, I wonder if that's their real selves or if they're just projections of his imagination. Because Layla didn't die. She was still in the physical world or whatever
is
going
on. Well, so was Donna.
Yeah.
Well, a good portion of them were still alive. So it's a...
I don't know because, like, I tell you, in the comic... The people who imprisoned Mark actually took his people there. You know, like his girlfriend, his BFFs who helped them fight as Moon Knight. They took them all there and drugged them up to a point where they thought they were patients in a hospital to kind of like add to that lie. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, if that's the case, how'd you get poor Donna and his other coworkers, you know? But if that's not the case, run! Leave the sarcophagus! Run!
Yeah, I mean, that seems like quite a transition. Like, why would they go through all the trouble of setting up, like, the psychiatric hospital ruse when they're so close to achieving victory with Amit?
You think Harrow's behind that? Like,
I mean, I don't know. That's my question, because he's the one who is, like, the therapist and, like, is the one that the primary focus is really on, you know? So, like, if it is a setup, it seems like sort of a little extra even for Harrow to do, especially
when he's,
like, it feels a little too convoluted, but, like, but then what is it? Like, if it is a mental illusion that Harrow, I think Harrow is behind it regardless.
I'm wondering if it's the guy in the suit, like, I forget which god it was that was putting Khonshu's statue away, one that was actually talking to Harrow last time and was like, oh yeah, that's him. Can he hear us? Probably. Because I'm like, why are you telling that to him? It's not his business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is your avatar working with Harrow in some way, shape, or form? What is going on here, you know? I don't know. So I'm wondering if it's the suit guy, because I'm thinking if anyone could have that power, it's one of the Egyptian gods. But I don't know.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting theory. Yeah, because I don't think it's what... you read in the comics. I think it's pretty unlikely. Like, that feels like too convoluted of a setup for them to do as an explanation for this iteration.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, okay, what do I know from the comics? And I know they're not going to follow everything clearly, but I'm like, okay, from what I know, what are they likely to use? And you're right, it is convoluted considering what we've gotten so far, but if that's the case, who's doing this? Because Harrow's got power, just not that kind of power, I don't think.
Yeah, so is this bigger than both of them now? Like,
Harrow was the pawn.
Whoa.
I find that satisfying. He thinks he's the top dog. No, sweetie, you're not. You're still the pawn.
I mean, Osiris was pretty sus to me.
So sus.
So, I don't, yeah, everything's on the table now, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next episode should be interesting. Hopefully no more priest eating thing, people, but whatever. Moving past that, Mark, get out. Steven, get out. Whether or not you take that sarcophagus with you, I'm leaving that up to you. Run.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I was wondering where they were going to go from there, because I'm like, we're already midway through and they're already at Amit's tomb. What's going to happen? Now I see.
Now we know.
Now I understand.
Yep. Next episode, I'm guessing the hospital, like you said, and then the very last episode, final confrontation, so to speak.
Yeah.
And whether or not Khonshu gets out of that statue is a whole other thing.
I mean, he definitely will. There. He's definitely getting out one way or the other.
Damn it. Keep him there. Let him be on timeout for another century or two.
What do you think, though, will happen with Layla and Mark and Steven, that whole love triangle, I guess? Right? It's a love triangle.
It's a love triangle at this point. It's a literal love triangle. She likes them both. There's a connection part to both. And since, like, Mark and Steven are, like, sharing a body, that's their connection, too. We almost got a full triangle here. That never happens, folks. But my theory is that it's not going to happen. Like, it's too complicated at this point. They're just,
yeah.
too much to unearth there. But there's definitely going to be one last kiss, probably for both of them. Even though Mark's going to be like, get out of here. I met her first.
And Steven's like, you're the one who messed this up.
But I'm hoping that they at least reach that peaceful end where Layla's like, all right, take care of yourself. Call me if you need it. I'll divorce you because we clearly got to figure some stuff out. But take care of yourself. Mwah. And be nice to each other. Mark, I'm looking at you. So I don't think it's going to happen. Do you think otherwise?
No, yeah. I just can't think of like a neat way for that to be resolved.
Unless their bodies are literally split apart, like in this new realm or wherever.
Yeah, but I just don't know how I feel about that, you know?
No, they need some internal balance. I want that to happen. I mean, it's clear that the two, Mark and Steven, I should say, that they respect each other to some extent, even if they frustrate each other.
I feel like the ending that I want is for them to coexist peacefully, you know? Yeah, and not necessarily not necessarily have to be like bodily ripped apart, you know what I mean? Like, there's something about that is very icky to me, especially just like in terms of how that translates to how we see like dissociative identity disorder in real life. Yeah, that just feels like no. You know, it has to be, and like, I don't want either of them to disappear, you know, so like, how do you hold these different identities in tension, which I think is kind of what that, you know, of what DID is kind of about.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. Coexisting would definitely be great in terms of just all aspects of what's going on, in terms of the story, in terms of like meta here, you know, it would be the best possible ending, but I don't know if this is going to be the only season for Moon Knight, or if they have like more in the works for like another season or a movie even, or if they're going to bring the character somewhere else. I don't know. But let's just say on the slight chance this is all we're getting. Then, all right. End things peacefully. Please let them coexist. This is the best possible thing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I want him and Bucky to be friends now, though. Now yes. Now that I see the parallel, I'm like, yeah, you are. We were talking about this offline, weren't we? We're like, which Marvel character do we want Steven / Mark to like become friends with? And my first thought was Sam Wilson.
Yes. So like, it makes so much sense.
This was even before that I saw the parallel with Bucky. I was like, no, Sam would be so great with Steven.
Yeah, he would be like totally chill with Steven. He would be patient with him, but he'd also know how to like verbally parry with Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
He would be bros.
I think he would really, I mean, because Sam is just like such a gentle person.
He's a treasure.
Actual
treasure that is America's sweetheart. That is Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be so good to Mark and Steven. You know, just, I want that friendship now. Bring him. Let them connect. Let them meet. I know we have all these Marvel shows and movies and such, but we want them all to connect again, just to talk, build some new friendships, you know? Actually make the Avengers a family like everyone says that they are.
I don't know. I feel like we've kind of passed that. I hope we're past that, honestly, in a way.
There's just so many characters.
Let's not force it, is kind of what I'm saying. If it happens organically, then fine. But
Sam Wilson is going to be BFFs with Steven forever. I want that fan fiction out there somewhere. Manifest.
Besties.
Besties.
Yeah.
Bucky's going to be so jealous. He'd be like, I thought I was your bestie.
Sucky. Anyway. Yeah. Well, okay. Anything else? We good here?
Yeah. Nope. I am excited for next week's episode, though.
Definitely excited, nervous, terrified.
It's okay. I'm thinking the next writer, let's see, the next writers and director. I think we're okay.
Mohamed Diab is back. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't recognize these writers, but I think we should be okay.
Okay. Well, it'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Of course. We're fine. It's good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening, you guys. And, you know, obviously, if you want to keep following us, you can hit us up on nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com, email us at nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com, rate us and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get listen to your podcast. Tell your friends about it.
Please do. Yes.
Anyway, so excited to be talking to you about Moon Knight, and we will talk to you next time on Nerd Alert! Girls.
Adios, everybody.